much. Thank you.
Sorry for the inconvenience. So thank you a lot for having me. I'd like to start by saying that in our struggle for the emancipation of European civilization that we are all fighting for, there is unknown to many a powerful geopolitical weapon of multipolarity in the heart of Europe. Today I'll be talking about the Free Territory of Trieste, an independent state created by Article 21 of the Paris Peace Treaty 1947 and the UN Resolution Number 16 of the UN Security Council. By its legal properties, it was taught as a geopolitical equalizer, as an instrument of neutrality in that war-torn Europe. And that's why, as you can already imagine, the powers to be, the NATO geopolitical interest, stopped it from having a full actualization of international law and for the full application of the Free Territory of Trieste. Let's start by why it is such an important geopolitical equalizer. The Free Territory of Trieste is located in the northeastern side of the Italian peninsula, in a extremely important geopolitical position, as it connects historically the Middle Europe, the rich economic heartland of Europe, with the Mediterranean Sea. And this has made it over the ages a very rich portal town. Still today, it is the biggest port under Italian administration, as well as one of the busiest ports in the whole of Europe. And by international law, by the Paris Peace Treaty, the port of Trieste, which is, I think, its biggest, it's the most important element of multipolarity, is international and free, meaning that all nations of the world should, by international law, have access to this to our port, and by consequence to the economic heartland of Europe. This includes, as you would imagine, nations we do not align with the liberal NATO order of things. And most importantly, even more importantly, maybe, the Free Territory of Trieste is, by international law, demilitarized and neutral, meaning that no military force can legally enter our borders without the unanimous consent of the UN Security Council, which enacted the resolution. I'd say maybe the it is also be surveyed by this figure, the governor, nominated by the UN Security Council unanimously, which should surveil the application of international law in Trieste, and which has never been nominated, and that's why the international law never saw a full application in the Free Territory of Trieste, because as you would imagine, as we'll talk a bit later, in 1953, American interest stopped Soviet Union from nominating the governor of the Free Territory of Trieste. And as you already probably understood, this whole setup was very dangerous for geopolitical control of Europe. So that's the key to understanding how we are having this simulation of sovereignty of the by part of the Italian government and the Croatian government in our land. I'll start a bit with the history of it all. So it was created, the Free Territory of Trieste, in 1947 and divided into Zone A and Zone B. Zone A was given, the administration of Zone A was given to the Allied military government, while the Zone B was given to the Yugoslavian government. The turning point for the whole Trieste question, as it's been defined by historiography since, very famously, is the Tito-Stalin split. In 1948, we have the split between Tito-Stalin and the Allies, seeing that the Trieste question was becoming a very hot topic in the debate over who should control Europe post-45, were started using the free territory as a way to put Tito under the wing of Western influences. This went on after years and years trying to find a treaty with the London Memorandum in 1954, when the sub-administration of Zone A was given to the Italian government and the sub-administration of Zone B was given to the Yugoslavian government. This on paper meant that Italy and Yugoslavia had duty to protect the international law and see for the full application of it. As you would imagine, this never happened because it was against the interests of American imperialism, and we had disguised by fake nationalism a return of sovereignty, which particularly on the Italian side had a lot of anti-Slavic sentiment to it. So they acted as the change in administration was a change in sovereignty, you know, in all effects, annexing illegally Zone A and Zone B. And this culminated with the Osimo Pact of 1975, a bilateral agreement which split officially the Zone A and Zone B between the two powers. Again, they had no right to split it as they were only administrators and didn't have any sovereignty. However, this was all hidden for the, of course, again, the interest of geopolitical control of Europe. However, in recent years, with the emergence of what we call the multipolar world, there is an opportunity for this instrument of neutrality and emancipation of Europe, I'd say, to come out again. In Trieste, we had the political struggle starting from the 2013 protests. We had a big local movement that fought for international law and had a huge protest of over 8,000 citizens, which for a small town like Trieste, it was the biggest in living memory. And however, as you would imagine, they were soon later infiltrated and on a trail of show trials, the political activists were all destroyed. It was all the movement was destroyed. However, this had the effect, rebirth had the effect of the powers to be, the powers of multipolarity to take a look at the situation, take a look again at the situation of Trieste and see, something isn't right. They are not, NATO is using this to control Europe and they are not respecting international law. And we are getting the worst end of it all. So we have starting a new saga of hidden diplomatic war behind the curtains of public opinion. Just 1 month and a half later, we had in 2013, we had the Putin visiting Trieste and insisting to the Italian government to hold a meeting with the economic ministry in Trieste instead of Rome, which it's a little bit difficult to pass as a coincidence. And if another nudge would be part of the interest that Russia has, would be inviting twice a team of legal experts and activists of the Free Territory of Trieste in the Russian embassy in Rome to discuss the topic of international law. However, maybe the most importantly for us all, is the implication of the Chinese Belt and Road Initiative in the Trieste port, because officially, the Chinese were stopped from coming into Trieste and the Genova port by the now government of Meloni just recently after a whole complicated saga. However, the Chinese still managed by leveraging the Paris Peace Treaty to buy up the biggest logistic point, the biggest logistic terminal of the Trieste free port, and still have managed to monopolize and get a big chunk of their economic trade route through Trieste. And there's nothing our governments can do about it, because they are just applying international law, and they know it. And I'd say to conclude the topic of international law in Trieste is not valid. They say it's not. They say when we fight for it, it's not valid. However, when big corporations ask for tax benefits and fiscal benefits, they always concede them on the basis of the Paris Peace Treaty. So this is not a discussion of whether these laws exist or don't exist. This is a discussion about who has the power and who has not, who doesn't have the power. And on this basis, I'd like to conclude my speech in saying that this can be the Free Territory of Trieste, can be the Achilles heels of the NATO geopolitical bloc. And I urge all forces, governmental and political, that are fighting for the cause of multipolarity to look into the control that NATO has on this important geopolitical point. And we are always open for all dialogue. Thank you for your attention.